Welcome to the Living a Real Life podcast. This is Kim Wright. Today is November 10th, 2016, and we are in the pre-Donald Trump era. Well, I guess this is the beginning of the era anyway, but, you know, he's not president quite yet. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Instead, I would like to focus on technology. So, in recent months, I've taken an interest in artificial intelligence. In particular, the kind of artificial intelligence that we expect to take over the world and know everything and become a god and all that super stuff. But the last couple of months, I've been feeling apathetic to that idea. Earlier this year, I thought that was great. Now, I don't really care anymore. In fact, I've been feeling rather apathetic to technological advancement in general. What I've decided at this point is that I don't care about technology in itself. To view technological advancement as an end in itself doesn't inspire me at all, and I don't really see the point of it. I really don't care if we have things that can go faster and be smaller and get you more likes on Facebook and whatever. On the other hand, I am interested in technology that is useful. Not just, obviously, we regard anything that we buy to be useful, otherwise we wouldn't buy it. Unless, of course, we've just been hypnotized into buying it, but that's another story. But I'm talking about technology that can basically make our lives easier. It can do things for us that we would rather not do. It can do things for us that it's better than us at doing, or it can either directly or indirectly raise our consciousness and help us to grow. So, what fascinated me about the premise of a sort of super computer intelligence, or what most people refer to as strong AI. What inspired me about that, or initially, was that I thought this would be a great way to improve human intelligence. I thought that if we made the most of our computer intelligence, that could directly help us to advance our own intelligence and to become more conscious beings. But I'm starting to have doubts about that. The way I've been looking at it lately is I think technology's effect on our growth is more indirect. And that's, as I said before, by automating things that are rather mundane tasks. Like, it can help us to grow food, for instance, or to clean our houses, or to do other things that we would like to do, or would like to be done, but we don't want to spend a whole lot of time doing them. And I think that's a good direction for technology to go in, because that would free all of us up to pursue other, not only to pursue other things, but if we can automate the processes related to our own survival and to our, and to meeting our everyday needs, then that means that we don't need to have slave laborers anymore. We don't need to have 12-year-old kids in China making clothes and illegal immigrants from Mexico picking crops and so on and so forth. So I think that's a good direction for us to go in. And the reason that those people wouldn't need to do those jobs anymore is that if we get to a certain point where the technology is not only capable enough, but also cheap enough, that could make the costs of things like growing food virtually non-existent. It's kind of like how I can record this podcast right now and upload it and put it on my website for virtually no cost. It's no cost to you, not really cost to me either. I pay a couple $100 a year to keep the website up, but that's, in the long run, that's not very much money at all. And of course, this laptop cost me maybe a little over $300 as well, but that was almost 4 years ago, and it's still going, and I don't really pay, and I don't pay any ongoing costs for it. So, it's quite possible that we could make technology just like that, that helps us to meet our daily needs. And we can get to the point where it costs us almost nothing in the long run. So I think that creating technology that makes our lives easier and does things that we don't really want to do, or at least not all the time, I think that's a great direction for technology to go in. But of course, putting technology in that direction means that the technology is not the point. Because if we're just employing technology to do mundane things for us, that means that we're putting ourselves first. And we're saying, well, the reason that we're making technology do all these mundane things is so that we can all go do cooler things. And like I said, that means that we are putting ourselves first. Now, I know it sounds obvious. Of course we would put ourselves before technology. But at this present point in our society, I'm not sure if we always do that. Because if we really did put ourselves before technology, why would we have people working at ridiculously low wages in order to create it? And why would we use technology to just distract ourselves and look at things that don't matter and that at the end of the day are just a drain on us and are really kind of shallow and meaningless? And why would we fight each other on Black Friday in order to get best deals on these things? And I think you get the point. Sometimes we do put technology first. Have people always done this? I'm not really sure how to answer that. But in the last few years, I would say that yes, as a society, we have done that. Sometimes we put technology before ourselves. And I think the current hype about strong artificial intelligence, whereby we create some sort of AI that is smarter than all of us and could basically be like a person, except with the brain of a computer. I think that is an idea that's in the direction of putting technology before us. And I know when I talk about strong AI, I'm not giving the clearest picture of what exactly it is, but It's hard to say because it doesn't exist right now. But the basic premise behind strong AI is that, is like I said, it's like a person except it has the brain of a supercomputer. So it's like a combination of computer and human. And it's the best aspects of both of us. And it's on the highest processing and memory capabilities that we can possibly create at this point, based on where we are in our technological advancements. That's basically what strong AI is. Or at least what we think it might be. Now, whenever I hear people talk about strong AI these days, as I alluded to earlier, I get a little annoyed about it. It's like, why do people keep thinking that we're going to turn into robots or get taken over by robots or whatever? Some ridiculous scenario like that where technology basically comes to rule over humanity in one form or another. I've always thought annoyingly, or annoyed rather, why do people keep saying these things? Do they really want this to happen? I don't understand why people keep fantasizing and fetishizing over this possibility. But then, recently I had another thought. I realized that this idea of a future where technology rules, it is very well possible. And I think that's why people keep talking about it, is that because if we continue to put technology before ourselves rather than putting humans first, that very well could be our future. That is a possible if we stay on that trajectory, that is a very possible future for us. If we basically stagnate and we just, our collective consciousness stays at the level where it is now and we just keep going in the same direction, it is very possible that we will see a future where technology dominates in some form or another. Whether that's us uploading our consciousness into computers somehow, or trying to create conscious computers, or where robots take over, although I find that scenario much less likely, but anything along those lines. That is a very possible future. And truthfully, I think that that would more or less spell the end for us. It's hard to say for sure, because there are many possible outcomes that it could take. There are many possible specific outcomes that this general glorification of technology could take. And, you know, it's possible that we will just, instead of creating conscious computers, maybe we'll outfit our bodies with mechanical parts, or we'll all have nanochips inside of us, and then the NSA can monitor every single thing about us all the time, like our heart rate and our blood pressure and where we are and what we're thinking and what we're saying and so on and so forth. Overall, I think that would not be a desirable future. The general direction of us glorifying technology, I don't think that would be desirable. And the reason is that, well, if we're putting technology before us, that means we're not putting ourselves first. And if we're not putting ourselves first, then we are basically, as I have heard quoted many times, I don't remember by who, we are the sex organs of the machine world. Meaning, our main function is to just create more technology, and we ourselves don't really matter. Now, is it possible that some sort of singularity or integration of technology with our physical bodies, could that be a good thing? It could be. I'm not totally dismissing the possibility, but right now, the trajectory we're on, or at least that we appear to be on, I can't say I see it as being all that great. I mean, people from the 15th century would look at us and say that we've already hit the singularity. We've so integrated technology into every moment of our lives, to them it would already look like that we've hit that point. And in some ways, we have. People, as I said, they look at their phones constantly. We communicate with each other from all over the world through phones and the internet. And a lot of us do work that's based on the internet or on computers, kind of like what I'm doing right now. So technology is already very closely integrated into our lives. And there are a lot of good things about it. I'm really glad that I can make this podcast right now, for instance, and make it available to anybody in the world as long as they have internet access. But there are some things that I look at and I'm like, okay, I guess that's cool, but how necessary is that? Do we really need to keep innovating that? Kind of like Fitbits. I mean, it's cool that people can track their steps every day and see how many miles they walked and whatnot. But it's like, okay, do we really need to put a nano chip on our bodies that tells us those things? Like, that's not really that important. I don't know. Maybe there are people who want to make technology like that, but I don't know. I don't see the point, to be honest. I certainly wouldn't want that inside me. And then, of course, the downsides are that while technology connects us all in some new ways, it also disconnects us in ways that it didn't used to. But I have an interesting take on that. I think I've expressed that either in writing or in the form of a podcast before. And I think, well, of course, everything in our reality reveals to us the truth about us. And when you see people hiding in their houses, watching TV all night, or sitting across from another person and just totally ignoring that person, instead looking at their smartphone and scrolling through Facebook. When you see that type of thing, I'm not sure if that's not just the technology that's doing that. We can't blame it all on the technology, because everything comes back to consciousness. And consciousness is totally within the realm of choice. That's all us. So when you see people basically tuning out from the world and instead focusing on their technology, and not only that, but using it in ways that are kind of shallow and pointless and draining, like scrolling through Facebook endlessly, I think that is simply a reflection of the level of consciousness that people are at. Because it begs a lot of questions. It begs the question of, well, why do people distract themselves in this way? Why are people trying to tune out each other? Why are we looking at information that's not very important and that is even draining to put our attention on? Why are people doing that? I don't think we can just blame the technology. Because, think about it. If we were collectively at a certain level of consciousness, those activities would not appeal to us. We wouldn't want to distract ourselves from each other or look at funny cat videos all day or whatever it is people do. If we were all of a certain idea about ourselves and about the world, those things would not make sense to us to do anymore, and we wouldn't do them. So we have to ask, well, what is it about us that makes us do these things? And that's a very good question. And I think the answer is basically that people feel lost. I think it's that people haven't really answered that question of who are we really and why are we here? Or maybe they've started to ask the question, but they either don't have a clear answer or they doubt themselves in the answer. I think when people try to distract themselves like that, again, it's not really the technology, it's just something in consciousness that makes us want to just tune out everything. And you know, if the technology wasn't there for us to distract ourselves with, that wouldn't make us more connected. Maybe instead there would just be a lot of awkward silences, or I don't know. People would find other ways to distract themselves. I'm sure they had ways in the past. I wasn't there, but I'm sure they did. Maybe people just read newspapers all the time and talked about, I don't know, the poop that was stuck on the bottom of their shoes and God knows what else. But the point is, the technology that we have just reflects back to us who we think we are. And we don't have to use tech as a form of distraction. Like I said before, there are a lot of great things about it. And I'm not just talking about the technology that automates food growing, for instance. I'm also referring to information technology, like the computer I'm using right now. There are good things about that, too. But here's my thing. Imagine that the majority of people on Earth were of a relatively high level of consciousness. This means that they all are relatively loving people. They give as much of themselves as they can. They're very connected to other people. As I said, they're very loving people. Just imagine that. Or imagine even that everyone in the world was like that. If we had a world like that, would there be any need for the internet anymore? Obviously, I'm posing an extreme example, because the world is not like that right now. But I'm considering, what if the world was like that? And I basically just wrote a novel about this. It's called The Growth of Our World, and it can be found on my website at kimwright.com. And the idea is that if everyone in our world was of that high a level of consciousness, how much need for this technology would we have anymore? Because if everyone in the world was super generous and loving and awesome, and we were all extremely transparent and honest with each other, and we had nothing to hide. How much need would we have for technology? I mean, we wouldn't want to distract ourselves anymore. Why do we need to distract ourselves when everything in the world is awesome and no one has to do anything that they don't want to do, and food is basically free, and we're all healthy, and we all like each other, and when we don't like each other, we're very clear about that up front, and then we can easily just move on to the next person without any hurt feelings. What if the world was like that? Would we want to spend our days watching YouTube videos anymore? Or reading blog posts? Would it even be, would we feel it necessary to make much use of the internet anymore? I think we would still use it, because I think people would still want to put up art or any sort of message up where everyone in the world can see it, and that still would make sense. But I don't know that we would use technology quite as much anymore. I don't know if we would even feel much of a point to using social media. Because if we're all connected to each other already, and we all have these great relationships with one another, I don't think we would need to go to social media anymore to seek validation or to share about our lives or anything of that sort. I think we would just feel fulfilled in our physical lives as they are. I mean, in a physical reality where you can create anything that you want, why would you want to go on Facebook or Twitter? Why would you want to go on YouTube unless there was information on there that no one in your immediate environment could give to you? Like maybe videos on how to fix a car or something like that. But other than these practical purposes, or maybe occasionally consuming art, such as a movie someone made, you know, why would you want to spend very much time on the internet? It's a big idea, because I'm projecting out far in the future, or at least far from where we are right now. At least, so it seems to be far from where we are right now. But it's a very good idea to consider. And it forces us to ask, why indeed are we using technology in the ways that we do right now? Is it really to enhance our lives? Or are we trying to distract ourselves from we know not what? And that's a good idea to consider as well, is when people are distracting themselves, what is it that they're distracting themselves from, ultimately? It's really just from their own fear. Of course, distracting yourself from fear isn't the way to get past it. It's to, instead, you have to stop distracting yourself. You just have to stare whatever it is in the face. And by both thought and action, realize that it's really not, that fear is really unnecessary. So, my point in all of this is that technology itself is not the point. And I think if we all woke up enough, that would be quite clear. I think in a future where we decide that it's about us first and not technology first. We would still be happy to have technology around to help us, but I don't think we would fetishize about it like we do today. I don't think we would... You know, we would get that it's not the point. And that doesn't mean we wouldn't keep innovating and trying to make it better and do better things for us that we ourselves are not physically capable of, or at least not yet anyway. But we make this very clear yet subtle distinction. Instead of innovating technology for the sake of innovating technology, we would innovate technology for the sake of enhancing our own lives. And that is an important distinction to make. Even though you might get the same technological results with either mindset, which mindset you take tells you what it is you really care about. Technology first or humans first? When you put humans first, the point of advancing technology, as I said, is to enhance our lives. And when we view technology in that way, that means we understand that there is a bigger picture here than simply making machines as powerful as they possibly can be. And again, like I said, we might do that anyway. We might decide that it really is in our best interest to make the most intelligent and powerful machines that we can. However, we will get that in itself is not the point. And I think that when we do make the mistake of seeing technological advancement itself as the point, we endanger ourselves. We put ourselves at risk of destroying ourselves by this technology that we have made more important than our own selves. Technology doesn't have to destroy us. Even if we do make machines that are incredibly intelligent, they don't have to become our gods or our overlords or kill us or anything like that. If we see these things as in our best interest, and we go ahead and make them, they don't have to be the end of us. But if we're all of a certain level of consciousness, we would not create machines in the first place that would kill us. Because, let's face it, a machine that would kill us or rule over us unjustly, or rule over us at all, really, we would understand immediately that creating something like that is not in our best interest. And we just wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't do it if we were of a certain level of understanding about life. We just wouldn't go there. There'd be no reason to. It'd be a waste of time. We would want to do other things. We would find just better ways to live. Because why would we do anything that doesn't really move our lives forward? Moving technology forward is not the same as moving our lives forward. But on the other hand, if we continue to put technology before us, then it is far more possible that we will ultimately create technology that will destroy us one way or another. It might not even have anything to do with computers. It might just be some crazy nuclear bomb that someone decides to just set off one day, and then that's it. It doesn't even have to have anything to do with computers. But, of course, it could very well be that scenario as well. So, the point is, it's up to us. You know, I think some people are of the mindset right now that technology is the leader, and we just have to keep innovating and hope that humans aren't stupid enough to use it in ways that'll kill everyone. And that mindset is really dumb, but sadly it does reflect the way that some people actually live and view the world. It does reflect that mindset of putting technology first, which is real, which people do appear to have. But we don't have to continue using that mindset. It's not necessary. And it begs another question, which is, how do people get that mindset in the first place? How did people come to think that the point of our lives is just to feed technology and to make it more powerful and to center our lives around it? How did this start, and why does it continue? Is it the result of profit motive? It could be. It could be that we started to advance technology for the purpose of enhancing our lives, and then when we saw how much money it was making, people said, hey, let's just center the economy around this thing. We'll just all keep... The people who own the technology will keep making a ton of money, and they'll keep employing people who will depend on the owners of the technology for jobs, and it's an economic wheel. It'll just go on and on. The innovators will keep innovating, and then they'll keep hiring people, and people will keep buying, and it'll just all continue. It might all just be momentum. You know, it might be that we started that thing, and now it just keeps continuing, and people don't really question it. And they say, well, there's jobs there, I gotta go get a job, so I don't die. And other people say, well, if I innovate, I'll make a lot of money, and then I won't really need a job, and that'd be cool. And we all just kind of keep running on that treadmill, and just keeping it going, and so on and so forth. It just keeps going. So it might be that, I mean, that probably is how it keeps going, is that we are not stopping to think about it. We are just running on pure momentum. And we're just assuming that this is how things are, and this is how they will continue to be. But of course, as long as we don't share that thought with each other, we will never know that people have different ideas in mind, that they say, hey, why don't we stop for a minute and question this? But as long as no one is airing the idea that maybe we should stop and question this, no one is going to stop and question it. Because we'll all assume that everyone is thinking the same thing, which is, oh, we gotta keep this thing going. And as a result, it'll just keep going, and we'll all just keep silently assuming until we eventually do something stupid that kills everybody. I'm laughing, but I am also being serious. I mean it! I am serious! So, I like to I would like to think that a lot of it is momentum. Or I would say that it definitely is. A lot of it definitely is momentum. But I'd like to think that there is something else involved too. Because, as I said, we are conscious beings. We don't run purely on momentum. We can't do that. Our thoughts immediately affect the way that our lives play out. So it can't just be pure momentum. There are thoughts that we're having that are resulting in our words and our actions and our worldview, and all of which ultimately keep this whole treadmill going. But I guess you could argue that those thoughts are just on momentum themselves. Every thought you have has within it the potential to perpetuate itself. Everything is self-perpetuating, unless we choose for it to be otherwise. So if I have a certain thought, then that'll lead me to the next thought, and that will lead to the next thought, which ultimately creates this cycle of life, if you will, whereby I go down the rabbit hole of all these thoughts, and in the end, I just stay on this wheel where the thoughts repeat themselves, and I just keep revisiting the same thoughts over and over again. And when you're revisiting the same thoughts over and over again, then you have a worldview. And once you have a worldview, you tend to stay stuck in that unless you question it. And as long as we don't question things, that's when things run on momentum. And we just keep going further down the rabbit hole, and the hamster wheel keeps spinning faster, and that's how we have momentum. It's when we don't question things. And I don't think there are enough people questioning our relationship with technology. People have kind of given up, you could say. They've yielded to the momentum of our collective consciousness, and they're assuming that things are going to go the way of strong AI and that technology is ultimately going to take us over. But of course, as I've emphasized here the last 40 minutes, things don't have to go that way. That's kind of our default trajectory right now, is that things will go that way. But as long as we all keep growing, and we keep thinking, and we keep questioning, and connecting with each other, and making a choice about who we really are, and why we're really here, and then living in accordance with that choice, as long as we do that, then we will not have that future where technology comes first and ultimately destroys us. But that's only if we keep growing. If we stagnate, then what will happen is what everyone currently assumes will happen. I will repeat that. If we stagnate, then what will happen is what everyone currently assumes will happen. But if we grow, then we'll keep going. That's worth repeating too. If we grow, we will keep going. Our own conscious growth is what will save us as a species. Because if stagnation is how things die. You know, growth and change are movement. Life is movement. But when something is totally still, when the molecules are not vibrating anymore, and we've hit absolute zero, and everything is completely frozen and not moving at all, that's death. Death is the lack of movement. And a lack of movement is stagnation. So if we stagnate, we will create our own premature death, which will be associated most likely with a misuse of technology. And the misuse of technology will result from our mistaking technology as the point of life, which of course it is not, but as long as we ride on the momentum of our current collective consciousness, we forget that technology is not the point. Because we think we need technology to make the economy super awesome and for everyone to have money and for the people in sweatshops in China to have their 5 cents so they can eat a bean and not starve to death, at least not yet anyway. We think we need technology, but we really don't, or at least not in the ways that we think we need it. You know, we can do things differently than this. And at the beginning of this podcast, I made brief reference to Donald Trump. You know, I don't know if Donald Trump is going to change all this. Of course, he's not by himself anyway. But I think his getting elected to the presidency 2 days ago, I think that reflects our desire to change. I'm not saying that Trump in himself will be a leader in this conscious growth that I have suggested we could use right now in order to save ourselves. Provided we want to save ourselves, of course. I assume that you would like to continue on, but maybe some people are fine with technology killing us in the end. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not saying that Donald Trump in himself reflects this direction of change, but I think the fact that he was chosen shows that people do want change. And part of that change, part of the societal changes that we want, they are going to require us to grow. And they're going to require us to put ourselves first and technology second. That is a change we're going to have to make if we want the results that we say that we want as a society. We're going to have to face that together at some point, sooner or later. If we want the results that we say that we want, we're going to have to face this technological behemoth that we have created that is our economy, or that is the center of economy, of our economy, you could say. We will have to face that, and we will have to recognize with each other that that is not in our best interest anymore. And I really think we can get there. I'm not a Luddite, as I've emphasized here. I'm not for doing away with technology. I'm just for technology that serves us directly. And of course, as I said earlier, the technology itself is not the problem, it's our relationship to it. So I don't want to see technology go away. I want to see us grow into beings who use technology for the highest good and not just to distract themselves or hide from life or what have you. That's what I want to see, is I want to see our growth. And when we grow and when we're in the proper state of being, we will know what to do with our technology. We'll know what to do when we get there. I assure you of that. So it's not the technology itself that's the problem. It's our own ideas that count here. It's what we claim to desire. It's what we think about who we are and where we are and why we're here. That's what it all comes down to. And that's why personal growth is so important. Personal growth is really not personal at all. Because the central questions of personal growth, like what is reality and who are we and why are we here, The way we answer those questions results in our behavior, and our collective behavior makes our whole world. So personal growth is really not just personal. It's actually a very global thing, because it applies to all of us, and it influences how we all think and behave, and how we think and behave creates our world. So this is important stuff. This is very relevant. These seemingly philosophical and esoteric questions are actually highly relevant, and I encourage you to take them seriously. Of course, if you've listened all through this podcast, I'm sure you do take them seriously. But if you haven't tried to form clear answers to them, I encourage you to. Who are you really? Why are you here? What is our relationship to each other? What is reality? What is the nature of reality? Are we physical beings, or are we something else? Are we really conscious beings who just have taken physical bodies in order to have an experience of linear growth? How does this thing work? I know these questions might seem very out there, but they are important. They are vital to how we live our lives and how we create our world. And they will shape our future. These questions are at the center of every decision we make. And every decision we make goes towards shaping our future. So, this is all very important. Personal growth is anything but personal. So, overall, I'm actually quite optimistic. I really think we're gonna do it. I think we all will grow enough to understand that life is about us, not our technology, and we will forge a healthy relationship to our technology, and we won't use it to distract ourselves from each other anymore, and we will restructure our economy one way or another in such a fashion that serves everybody and doesn't rely on blind technological innovation to keep going. I think we are going to find a better way. And say what you will about the election, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's not really the point here. But I think it does reflect that people are ready to change. So, I am optimistic. I really am. I mean that. And this world is awesome. Life is fabulous. I mean, my own life is going great right now. And when I look at the world, I am happy. I'm really happy with what I see. And I think we, as humanity, we have great things ahead of us. People are wonderful. And I'm just so appreciative of this beautiful world that we've created at this point and that we're continuing to create. So I know we've got it. All we gotta do is just live that knowing. Just express that knowing as to the highest extent that we can. And as long as we do that, we're good, baby. We got this. As long as we all live our highest understanding, we'll be fine. And we'll be more than fine. We'll be joyful. And that is our natural state, is to be joyful. So, I'll leave you with that. Choose to live your highest understanding, and you'll be damn fine. You'll be more than damn fine. You will be joyful. So thank you for listening. And as I mentioned earlier, this podcast is closely related to a book I just wrote called The Growth of Our World. You can get that at my website, kimwright.com. It is available for free as a PDF. I encourage you to read it, or at least parts of it, to get a more in-depth idea of what I've just spoken about here, about what is possible for our future, provided we continue to grow. If you enjoy this podcast, I think you really will enjoy that book. And as I said, it's available for free, so there's no profit motive here. So, thank you very much for listening, and I can't wait to bless your ears with another round of something special in the near future. Thank you very much, and have a fabulous day. Peace out.